Jensen could only stare at him. "You don't love me, Sebastian. You don't have any idea what love really is. You can't love anyone or anything until you love your own existence first. Love can only grow out of a respect for your own life. When you love yourself, your own existence, then you love someone who can enhance your existence, share it with you, and make it more pleasurable. When you hate yourself and believe your existence is evil, then you can only hate. You can only experience the shell of love, that longing for something good. But you have nothing to base it in but hatred. You taint the very concept of love, Sebastian, with your corrupted longing for it. You want me only to justify your hatred, to be your partner in self-loathing. To truly love someone, Sebastian, you must revel in their existence because they make life all the more wonderful. If you think existence is corrupt, then you are sealed off from the fruition of such a relationship, from what love really is. You're wrong. You just don't understand. I understand all too well. I only wish I had sooner. But I do love you, Jen. You're wrong. I do love you. You can only wish you did. They are the empty words of a barren shell of a man. There is nothing there for me to love, nothing worth loving. You are so empty of humanity that it's even difficult for me to hate you, Sebastian, except in the sense of the way one would hate an open sewer. Lightning crashed down on the pillars all around. The voice in Jensen's head felt as if it would tear her apart. "Jen, you don't mean any of that. You can't. I can't live without you." Jensen turned her cold fury on him. "The only thing in the whole world you could do that would please me, Sebastian, would be to die. I've listened to this touching lover spat long enough," Sister Perdita growled. "Sebastian, be a man and shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you. Your life means just as little as anyone else's. Richard, you have a choice, Jensen or the Mother Confessor."
"You don't have to serve the Keeper, Sister," Richard said. "You don't have to serve the Dreamwalker either. You have a choice."
Sister Perdita pointed at him. "You have a choice. I make you this offer once. Your time is up. Kalin's time is up. Jensen or Kalin, choose!"
"I don't like your rules," Richard said. "I choose neither."
"Then I choose for you. Your precious wife dies." Even as Jensen dove at her to stop her, Sister Perdita seized Kalin by the hair and lifted her head. The Mother Confessor's face was blank of all expression. Jensen caught Sister Perdita's arm, swinging the knife with the ornate letter R as fast as she could, with as much power as she could apply, hoping against hope that she was fast enough to save Kalin's life, yet knowing, even as she made the attempt, that she was already too late. There was a crystal-clear instant when the world seemed to stop, to freeze in place, and then there was a violent concussion to the air, thunder without sound. The terrible shock drove a ring of dust and rock away from the Mother Confessor in an ever-expanding circle. The shock to the columns so close all around shook the towering pillars. Some that were so precariously balanced toppled. As they fell, they hit others, bringing them down as well. It seemed to take forever for the huge sections of rock to plunge through the sweltering air, trailing dust as they disintegrated, plummeting down like thunder made of stone. As the rock came crashing to the ground, it seemed the entire valley shook under the tremendous blows. Blinding dust swirled up into the air. The world went black, as if all light had been taken away. And in that terrifying instant, in the total blackness, there seemed that there was no world, no anything. The world came back like a shadow lifting. Jensen found herself holding the arm of a dead woman. The sister toppled to the ground, like one of the stone pillars. Jensen saw her knife jutting from the sister's chest. Richard was already there, holding Kalin in his arms, slicing through the rope, easing her down. She looked drained, but other than her weakness, she looked fine.
"What happened?" Jensen asked in wonder.
Richard smiled at her. "The sister made a mistake. I warned her. The mother confessor unleashed her power into Sister Perdita. "Did you have to warn her?" Kaelin asked, suddenly quite coherent sounding. "She might have listened to you." "No, it only encouraged her to do it." Jensen realized that the voice was gone. "What happened? Did I kill her?" "No. She was dead before your knife touched her," Kaelin said. "Richard was distracting her so I could use my power. You tried, but you were an instant too late. She was already mine." Richard put a comforting hand on Jensen's shoulder. "You didn't kill her, but you made a choice that saved your own life. That shadow that passed over us as the sister died was the keeper of the dead taking one who had sworn herself to him. Had you made the wrong choice, you would have been taken with her." Jensen's knees were trembling.
"The voice is gone," she whispered aloud. "It's gone."
"The keeper inadvertently revealed his intent," Richard said. "Since the hounds were loose, that meant the veil, the conduit between worlds, was open."
"I don't understand."
Richard gestured with the book before he tucked it back into one of the pouches at his belt. "Well, I haven't had time to read it all, but I've read enough to learn a little. You are an ungifted offspring of a Lord Rawl. That makes you the balance to the gifted Rawl, to magic. You not only have none, but you're not touched by it. In a time of a great war, the House of Rawl was created to give birth to a line of powerful wizards, but in so doing, it also sowed the seeds of the end of magic for the world. It may be the Imperial Order that wants a world without magic, but it is the House of Rawl that may eventually deliver it. You, Jensen Rawl, are potentially the most dangerous person alive because you, like any truly ungifted Rawl, are the seed that could spawn a new world without magic." Jensen stared into his gray eyes.
"Then why would you not want me dead like every Lord Rawl before you?"
Richard smiled. "You have as much right to your life as anyone else, as any Lord Rawl has ever had to their life. There is no right way for the world to be. The only right is that people be allowed to live their own life." Kaelin pulled a knife from Sister Perdita's chest and cleaned it on the black robes before handing it to Jensen. "Sister Perdita was wrong. Salvation is not through sacrifice. Your responsibility is to yourself." "Your life is your own," Richard said, "and not anyone else's. You made me proud hearing everything you said to Sebastian." Jensen stared down at the knife in her hand, still dazed and confused by everything that was happening. She looked around in the gathering darkness, but didn't see Sebastian anywhere. Oba was gone too. As she looked around, Jensen was startled to see a moored Sith standing not far away. "This is just great," the woman complained to the mother confessor, throwing her hands up. "The girl sounds like Lord Rawl. Now I'm going to have to listen to two of them." Kaelin smiled and sat down, leaning back against the pillar where she had been tied, watching Richard, listening, stroking the ears of Betty's twin kids. Betty watched her two young ones, then, seeing them safe, peered hopefully up at Jensen. Her little tail started wagging in a blur.
"Betty?"
Betty happily jumped up on her, eager for a reunion. Jensen tearfully hugged the goat before standing to face her brother.
"But why would you not do as your ancestors? Why? How can you risk everything in that book?"
Richard hooked his thumbs behind his belt and took a deep breath. "Life is the future, not the past. The past can teach us through experience how to accomplish things in the future, comfort us with cherished memories, and provide the foundation of what has already been accomplished. But only the future holds life. To live in the past is to embrace what is dead. To live life to its fullest, each day must be created anew. As rational thinking beings, we must use our intellect, not a blind devotion to what has come before, to make rational choices."
"Life is the future, not the past," Jensen whispered to herself, considering all that life now held for her. "Where did you ever hear such a thing?"
Richard grinned at her. It's the wizard's seventh rule. Jensen gazed up at him through her tears.
You have given me a future, a life. Thank you.
He embraced her then, and Jensen suddenly didn't feel alone in the world. She felt whole again. It felt so good to be held as she wept with tears for her mother, and tears for the future, for the joy that there was life and a future. Kalen rubbed Jensen's back. Welcome to the family. When Jensen wiped her eyes and laughed at everything and nothing while she used her other hand to scratch Betty's ears, she saw then Tom standing nearby. Jensen ran to him and fell into his arms.
Oh, Tom, you can't know how glad I am to see you. Thank you for bringing me, Betty.
That's me. Goat delivery as promised. Turns out that Irma, the sausage lady, only wanted your goat to get herself a kid. She had a billy and wanted a young one. She kept one and let you have the other two.
Betty had three?
Tom nodded.
I'm afraid that I've become very fond of Betty and her two little ones.
I can't believe that you did that for me, Tom. You're wonderful.
My mother always said so, too. Don't forget, you promised to tell Lord Rawl.
Jensen laughed in delight.
I promise. But how in the world did you ever find me?
Tom smiled and pulled a knife from behind his back. Jensen was astonished to see that it was identical to the one she had.
You see, he explained, I carry the knife in service to Lord Rawl.
You do? Richard asked. I've never even met you.
Oh, the Mord Sith said. Tom here is all right, Lord Rawl. I can vouch for him.
Why, thank you, Kara, Tom said with a twinkle in his eye.
And you knew all along then, Jensen asked, that I was making it all up?
Tom shrugged.
I wouldn't be a proper protector to Lord Rawl if I let such a suspicious person as you roam around trying to do harm without doing my best to find out what you were up to. I've kept tabs on you, followed you a goodly part of your journeying.
Jensen swatted his shoulder.
You've been spying on me.
As a protector to Lord Rawl, I had to see what you were up to and make sure you didn't harm Lord Rawl.
Well, she said, I don't think you were doing a very good job of it then.
What do you mean?
Tom asked with exaggerated indignation.
I could have really stabbed him. You just stood way over there the whole time, too far away to do anything about it.
Tom smiled that boyish grin of his, but this time it was a little more mischievous than usual.
Oh, I'd not have let you hurt Lord Rawl.
Tom turned and heaved his knife. With blinding speed, like she had never seen, the blade flew across the valley, embedding itself with a thunk in one of the faraway fallen stone pillars. Jensen squinted and saw that it had been driven through something dark. She followed Tom, Richard, Kalen, and the Mord Sith between towering columns and stone rubble to where the knife was stuck. To Jensen's astonishment, it had impaled a leather pouch right through the center, being held up by a hand coming from beneath the huge section of fallen stone.
Please, came a muffled voice from under the rock. Please let me out. I'll pay you. I can pay. I have my own money.
It was Oba. The rock had fallen on him when he ran. It had landed on boulders that kept the main section of stone big enough that 20 men couldn't have joined hands around it from collapsing to the ground, leaving a tiny space, trapping the man alive under the tons of rock. Tom pulled his knife from the soft stone and retrieved the leather pouch. He waved it in the air.
Friedrich!
He called toward the wagon. A man sat up.
Friedrich, is this yours?
Jensen was astonished yet again, in this astonishing day, to see Friedrich Gilder, the husband of Althea, climb down from the wagon and make his way over to them.
That's mine, he said.
He looked under the rock.
You have more.
After a moment, the hand began passing out more leather and cloth purses.
There! You have all my money. Let me out now.
Oh, Friedrich said, I don't think I could lift that rock, especially not for the man who was responsible for the death of my wife.
Althea died? Jensen asked in shock.
I'm afraid so. My sunshine has gone from my life.
I'm so sorry, she whispered. She was a good woman.
Friedrich smiled. Yes, she was. He pulled a small, smooth stone from his pocket. But she left me this, and that much is a pleasure.
Isn't that odd? Tom said in wonder.
He fished around in his pocket until he came up with something. He opened his hand to reveal a small, smooth stone sitting in his palm.
I have one of those, too. I always carry it as a good luck charm.
Friedrich eyed him suspiciously. He grinned at last.
She has smiled on you too, then. I can't breathe, came a muffled voice from under the rock. Please, it hurts. I can't move. Let me out.
Richard held his hand out toward the rock. There came a grinding sound, and a sword floated from under the rock. He bent and pulled his scabbard out, dragging the baldric out behind. He wiped the dust off and placed the baldric over his shoulder, the scabbard at his hip. The sword was magnificent, a proper weapon for the Lord Rawl. Jensen saw the gleaming gold word, Truth, on the hilt.
You faced all those soldiers and you didn't even have your sword, Jensen said.
I guess your magic was better defense. Richard smiled as he shook his head. My ability works through need and anger. With Kaelin taken, I had plenty of need and a ready rage. He lifted the hilt clear of the scabbard until she could again see the word spelled out in gold. This weapon works all the time.
How did you know where we were? Jensen asked him. How did you know where Kaelin was?
Richard smiled. My grandfather gave me this. King Oba there stole it when, with the Keeper's help, he captured Kaelin. This sword is rather special. I have a connection to it. I can sense where it is. The Keeper no doubt induced Oba to take it in order to entice me here.
Please, Oba called. I can't breathe.
Your grandfather? Jensen asked, ignoring Oba's distress, his weeping. You mean Wizard Zorander?
Richard grinned a wonderful grin. You've met Zed, then? He's wonderful, isn't he?
He tried to kill me, Jensen muttered.
Zed?
Richard scoffed.
Zed's harmless.
Harmless? He...
The Mord Sith Kara poked at Jensen with the red rod she had, the Aegil.
What are you doing? Jensen asked. Stop that.
That doesn't do anything to you?
No,
Jensen said, scowling. No more than it did when Nida did it. Kara's eyebrow went up.
You've met Nida?
She looked up at Richard.
And she can still walk. I'm impressed.
She's immune to magic, Richard said. That's why your Aegil won't work on her either. Kara, with a sly smile, looked over at Kaelin.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Kaelin asked.
She might just be able to solve our little problem, Kara said, her wicked grin growing.
Now I suppose, Richard said in ill humor, you're going to have her touch it too.
Well, Kara said defensively, someone has to. You don't want me to do it again, do you?
No.
What are you three talking about? Jensen asked.
We have some urgent problems, Richard said. If you'd like to help, I think you just might have the special talent it takes to get us out of a serious bind.
Really? You mean you want me to go with you?
If you're willing, Kaelin said. She leaned on Richard, looking like she was at the end of her strength.
Tom, Richard said, might we?
Of course,
Tom said, dashing over to offer his arm to Kaelin.
Come on over.
I have some nice blankets in back where you can lay down. Just ask Jensen. They're real comfortable. I'll drive you back up the nice, easy way.
That would be much appreciated, Richard said. It's just about dark. We'd better stay here for the night and ride out as soon as it's light enough. Hopefully, before it gets too hot.
The rest of them will want to sit back there with the Mother Confessor, I expect, Tom whispered to Jensen. If you don't mind, you could ride up on the seat with me.
First, I want to know something. The truth now, Jensen said. If you're a defender to Lord Rawl, what would you have done standing over there? If I would have harmed Lord Rawl?
Tom looked down at her with a serious expression. Jensen, if I really thought that you would or could, I'd have put this knife in you before you had the chance.
Jensen smiled. Good. I'll ride with you then. My horse is up there, she said, pointing up past the pillars of creation. I've become good friends with Rusty.
Betty bleated at the sound of the horse's name. Jensen laughed and scratched Betty's fat middle.
You remember Rusty?
Betty bleated that she did, as her kids frolicked nearby.
In the distance behind, Jensen could hear the murdering Oba Rawl demanding to be let out. She stopped and looked back, realizing that he too was a half-brother, a very evil one.
I'm sorry I thought such terrible things about you, she said, looking up at Richard.
He smiled as he held Kaylin close with one arm, then pulled her close with the other.
You used your head when confronted with the truth. I couldn't ask for any more than that.
The weight of the rock that had fallen was slowly crushing the sandstone boulders, holding up the pillar, trapping Oba. It was only a matter of hours until Oba was crushed to death in his inescapable prison, or if not, until he died of thirst. After such a defeat, the Keeper wasn't going to reward Oba with any help. The Keeper would have an eternity to make Oba suffer for failure. Oba was a killer. Jensen suspected that Richard Rawl had no shred of mercy for someone like that, or anyone who hurt Kaylin. He showed Oba none. Oba Rawl would be buried forever with the pillars of creation.
Chapter 61. In the morning, Tom gave them a ride out among the towering pillars of creation. The view in the early morning, with the sun throwing long shadows and lending striking colors to the landscape, was spectacular. It was a sight that no one else had ever come out of the valley to report. Rusty was happy to see Jensen and turned positively frisky when she saw Betty and her two kids. Jensen, with Richard and Kaylin at her side, went into the squat building and discovered that Sebastian, unable to reconcile his beliefs and his feelings, had granted Jensen her last wish. He had taken all the mountain fever roses he'd had in the tin. He sat dead at the table. Jensen, sitting beside Tom, listened to Richard and Kaylin explain the whole story of how they came to be together. Jensen could hardly believe that he was so much different than she had ever thought. His mother, having been raped by Darken Rawl, had run away with Zed to protect Richard. Richard grew up far away in Westland, not knowing anything at all about Dahara or the House of Rawl or magic. Richard had ended the evil rule of Darken Rawl. She felt proud and honored now that Richard had asked her to keep the knife with the ornate letter R on it. He said she had earned the right to carry it. She intended to keep it and hold sacred its true purpose. Now she truly was a protector, just like Tom. As they rode along, Betty stood in the wagon beside Friedrich, with her front hooves up on the seat between Tom and Jensen, each holding a sleeping little goat. Rusty was tied behind where Betty frequently went back to visit. Richard, Kaylin, and Kara rode along at the side. Jensen turned to her brother after having considered what he'd just told her.
So, you're not making that up then? It really said that about me in the book, The Pillars of Creation?
It was speaking about those like you. The most dangerous creature walking the face of the earth is the ungifted child of a Lord Rawl, because they are completely immune to magic. Magic can't harm them, can't affect them, and even prophecy is blind to them. But I guess you turned out to prove the book wrong. She thought it over. Some of it still didn't make sense to her. I don't understand why the keeper was using me. Why was his voice in my head? Well, I only had time to translate a small bit of the book, and other parts are damaged. But from what I did read, I guess that the ungifted child, since he has no magic, is what the book calls a hole in the world, Richard explained. So they're also a hole in the veil, making you potentially a conduit between the world of life and the world of the dead. In order for the keeper to consume the world of life, he needed such a gateway. The need for vengeance was the final key. Your surrender to his wishes, when you went out into the woods with the Sisters of the Dark, had to be consummated by you being slain, by you completing the bargain with death by dying. So, if anyone would have killed me, Sister Perdita, for example, after I went out in the woods with those Sisters of the Dark, wouldn't that have opened such a gateway? No. The keeper needed a protector of the world of life. It took the balance to your lack of the gift. It took a gifted Rawl, the Lord Rawl, to accomplish such a thing, Richard said. If I would have killed you to save myself or Kalin, then the keeper would have been loosed into this world through the breach created. I had to force you to choose life, not death, if you were to live, and if the keeper was to be kept in the underworld. I might have destroyed life, Jensen said, shaken at truly understanding how close she'd come to unleashing cataclysmic destruction.
I'd not have let you, Tom said good-naturedly.
Jensen put her hand on his arm, realizing that she had never had feelings before like she had for him. The man positively made her heart sing. His smile made her life worth living. Betty stuck her nose in, wanting attention, and to see her sleeping babies. There is no greater treason to life than delivering the innocent to the keeper of the dead, Kara said. But she didn't, Richard said. She used reason to discover the truth, and the truth to embrace life.
You sure know a lot about magic, Jensen said to Richard.
Kalin and Kara laughed so hard that Jensen thought they might fall off their horses. I don't see what's so funny, Richard grumbled. The two of them laughed all the harder.